You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This year has two goals. We're going to talk about the ta'amim of muktzah just for 3 minutes. And then the primary focus on the shiur will be getting an understanding of the first sif in Hilchas in Siman Shin Ches, which is the halachas of muktzah, machmas, chisaron, kis, which we'll describe in just a few minutes. At the end of last week's shiur, we spoke about the Rambam, who quoted 3 reasons why muktzah is indeed an issur d'rabbanan. Last week we spoke about that there could be a muktzah d'oraisa, but we generally assume that typical muktzahs that we encounter are typically d'rabbanan. The Rambam gave us 3 reasons. I have them outlined in source number 1. I'm sorry, the numbering, there's no numbering this week. The numbers that are on the first few sources are because they're left over from last week, so ignore all the numbers. So in the first source, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chav Dalet, Perek Halacha Yud Beis, says 3 reasons. Reason number 1, that if you have to walk on Shabbos differently and talk on Shabbos differently, certainly your hands should handle items differently on Shabbos. That's a kal v'chomer that the Rambam suggests. So it's a funny kal v'chomer. And remember, this is not a kal v'chomer that the Gemara makes, this is a kal v'chomer that the Rambam's ingenuity and creativity has created. That if you have to walk, that the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Your walking should be different, your talking should be different, so too, therefore, your what you handle should be different. I want to share with you an incredible question that the Prima Gadim asks on this reason. On the bottom of the page, it's labeled source number 13, but it's not really source number 13. The Prima Gadim, on the very beginning of Hilchot Shin Ches, asks a question. We know that you're not allowed to talk divrei business on Shabbos. But we sing in Zmiras, L'shadei Chabanos, right? Everybody thinks, oh, you can make Shiduchim. No, that's not what it means. It means you can talk business. It means you'll give 3 camels and I'll give 5 oxen and you'll pay this much a month for the month and I'll pay. L'shadei Chabanos. You're allowed to talk business on Shabbos if it's...
If you say the Shabbos Karet first. If you say the Shabbos Karet first.
Yeah, if you say the Shabbos Karet, yeah, then you get... then the Skila, they say the Shabbos Karet before
right,
they give the Skila
right,
also.
Right.
So, you're allowed to talk Divrei Mitzvah on Shabbos. Are you allowed to run on Shabbos? Hiluchach, but Shabbos, you walking on Shabbos has to be different than the walking through the week. But you're allowed to run to Shul. Why? Because it's Tzorech Mitzvah, so you're allowed to run. So that means the halachas of walking differently and speaking differently are dispensed for when it comes to mitzvah. Yes, the Prima Gadim, listen to this, Rabbos, it's an incredible piece of landas. According to the Rambam, who says that the reason for muktzah is a kal v'chomer, that if you have to walk differently on Shabbos and talk differently on Shabbos, certainly the things that you handle should be different on Shabbos, that's why there's muktzah. Ask the Prima Gadim, well, wait a second. But walking for a mitzvah, you're allowed to run. And talking business for a mitzvah, you're allowed to talk. You could talk donations, you could talk tzedakah things on Shabbos. So if that's the case, what should come out from the if the basis of muktzah is a kal v'chomer, litzorech mitzvah, it should be mutter to handle muktzah. And that's absurd. We never heard such a thing in our lives. That's absolutely wrong. That, the Prima Gadim says, is a critique on this first svara of the Rambam from the halachas that we know well, and he quotes in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's there's elsewhere in the Shulchan Aruch. For example, if you wanted to, I'm trying to think, what's a mitzvah that you want to, how do you want to...
Give your talit.
What?
Giving your talit to the shul.
No, that's carry. We're not talking about carry. We're talking about mitzvah.
You want to throw rocks at cars.
Yeah, money. Let's say you want to... What? A knife for muktzah, that's the next part of the shiur. Okay, either way, that's the Prima Gadim's critique. We know that you're not allowed to handle muktzah, even if it is Litzarech Mitzvah. So that's the first question of the Prima Gadim. Another question that I'd like to share from the Prima Gadim's critiques is in the discussion of that Rambam, the Rambam gave some other reasons why there are no... Why there's an Isra Muktzah. So we have the Ravid, which again is source number 10 on the front page, but it's not really source number 10. The Ravid quoted the Gemara that says in Shabbos Kuv Chavdal that Tiltu Lav Tzorech Hutzahu, which was an explicit Gemara that stated the reason for Muktzah, that it's based on a Geder that we shouldn't carry outside of an Erev. If you don't put something in your hand, you're not going to come to carry it. The first stage, as Rashi explains in the italics, Tchilas Hotzal Yidei Tiltul Hi, like we mentioned last week. If you're never going to carry something, put something in your hands in the first place, you're never going to carry it outside the Erev in the second place. So that's a gedir for Hotzal. Asks the Prima Gadol another fabulous question. And this is a question not on the Rambam, but on the Gemara. Hotzah is only asr on Shabbos. But on Yantif, Hotzah is mutter. So according to the reason of the Gemara, what should come out? There's no mukta on Yantif. There should be no mukta on Yantif. The whole reason for mukta is the gedda that you shouldn't come to Hotzah, says the Prima Gadol. So therefore, on Yantif, where there is no isr Hotzah, all of the laws of mukta should be permitted. Fabulous question of the Prima Gadol. So, for that, now we can maybe appreciate one of the fundamental questions on this Rambam was, why is the Rambam making up three reasons for an Isser Durabana, for the Isser of Mukta, when the Gemara already told us the reason for the Isser? This Prima Gadol answers that question. The reason why the Rambam had to give his own reasons is because the reason of the Gemara doesn't work for Yantif. And therefore, it must be, the Rambam realized that for Yantif, when there is no Isser Hotzah, there must be some other reason, there's some other motivation that prevents us from carrying. It can't be Hotzah, so what else could it be? So for that, the Rambam had to make up some other reasons that would be applicable for Yantif as well. Now we can understand the Rambam's reasons apply across the board, both for Shabbos and Yantif, as opposed to the reason that the Gemara provides, which is Tzarech Hotzah, that it's a concern for Hotzah, which would only work for Shabbos. Now just to finish off this piece, the Magen Mishnah is the most famous comment as far as why did the Rambam give reasons against the Gemara that don't appear in the Gemara, and that appears again in source number 12. Again, these are not the real numbers, but in source number 12 on the first page, this is Magen Mishnah on the Rambam that we're discussing, which is Hilchas Shabbos Perech Chaf Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. So the Magen Mishnah suggests two reasons why the Rambam made up three reasons for Mukta, all of them being against the Gemara. And the first one, he says, is something very important based on the history that we learned last week. Last week we learned that the history was that in the time of Nehemiah ben Chachlaya, when Klal Yisrael returned from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people were very lax in Hilchas Shabbos. They were mamish doing business on Shabbos. So Nehemiah got up and made a very austere gzeira not to touch anything on Shabbos. Basically, you can't touch anything except your plate, your spoon, your cup, your bowl, and a chumash. Everything else was mukta. And then, as history, proceeded, Bnei Yisrael became a little more careful. Nehemiah loosened the gzeira a little bit, and then another more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Says the Magen Mishnah, when Nehemiah made that initial gzeira, the first point in time when he made that all-encompassing isser of muktzah that encompasses everything, that was mishum hotzah, like the Gemara says. Later on, when there was no longer the concern of hotzah, because now Baruch Hashem, from Jews don't do business on Shabbos, from Jews don't carry on Shabbos, why is muktzah still asr nowadays? That's what the Rambam's coming to answer. Why the later versions of muktzah are asr? That's the reason, says the Magen Mishnah, why the Rambam is giving reasons not in the Gemara. The Gemara's reason of Hotzah was the reason for Nehemiah's original Takana. But all the subsequent Isturi Mukta that apply nowadays, even though there's no Isser of Hotzah anymore, because we're past that, we don't carry without an Erev on Shabbos. Jews have, we've improved since that first stage of Nehemiah. Still, the Chazal left the later Takanos of Mukta because of these other reasons that the Rambam suggested. That's one.
Was you didn't want to be working in the field and doing malacha. How much malacha they were doing. So by not letting them touch their hoes and their rakes and whatever, that was preventing it, not just Hotzah.
What you're saying is good in the Pesukim, because the Pesuk there did say that in Nehemiah. The problem is we're working with the Gemara that says that it's Mitam Hotzah. So
I guess if you can't carry it out, you can't do that either. It's kind of all it covers both. It's a superset.
Well, there were Erevin were Takana Tzuris HaPesach that we know as a Takana Shlomo HaMelech. So they did have Erevs in those days.
They weren't working, they had an Erev? I don't know, that kind of. Could be, I guess.
Okay. And finally, just to finish this section entirely, the Magen Mishnah suggests another reason. which is very simple. Look at the end of 12, which is, I think, you know, very balabatish, very, you know, sort of obvious. Ve'efshir sh'rabbeinu hizkir tamim eile shechidei shuzal, ve'lo lomar she'ein sham tam acher. And this, says the Magen Mishnah, is the real answer. When the Rambam gave these three reasons outside of Hotzah, he's just saying there are additional reasons. Of course, Hotzah is the primary reason, but there are just more reasons why Chazal were thinking of Mutzah, all of the different concerns that we have. It's not one or the other, all these concerns. So sometimes you could have an Issa D'Rabbanan, you know, sometimes you talk about something being Mutzah or Aser. There could be multiple reasons why something is Aser. So yes, Hotzah is the primary reason that's recorded in Shas. And then the Rambam is telling you some additional reasons that also will be of concern. That's the end of the first section of this morning's shir, as far as the history and the reasons for the Takan of Muktzah. And now we're going to go into the Shulchan Aruch and talk about the first halacha that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, which is Muktzah Machmas Kisaron Kis. Let us begin, before we define this form of Muktzah, we know the word Kisaron Kis means loss, monetary loss. But let's see with the Mishnah in Shabbos, which we saw quickly last week. The Mishnah Shabbos Kuvchav Gimel Amud Beis says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol HaKeil Nitalim B'Shabbos, which we'll see will be the Shulchan Aruch will quote this line. All kelim are permitted to be used, to be touched, to be moved. Chutz min hamaser hagadol v'yosei shel machareisha. These are tools for industry. A maser hagadol is a big kind of saw, a very big saw. And yosei shel machareisha is a part of the plow. Now, gentlemen, are these delicate tools?
No.
Absolutely not. So anybody who thinks that Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis are things that are exceedingly delicate and you're worried that that they're exceedingly delicate and that's why they're Muktzah, that's wrong, because the whole source for Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis is this Mishnah. We're talking about hefty, strong metal, heavy items. Okay, that's just something to think about. Okay, we'll get to that. Says the Rush. The Rush sort of puts it out. What is this Isser that we're talking about? What is this Muktzah? Why did the Mishnah say that all the kelim are mutter except these specific types of utensils? That's the genre that we're going to discuss this morning. Taima dehani, the reason for these is the Rush in Shabbos Yitzayin Halacha Dalet. Taima dehani, the reason for these specific utensils being asur milk, samishim tekapte alayhu, the owner is matpit upon them shelo yipagmu, that they shouldn't get damaged. Meaning, they're heavy instruments, but they have a sharp edge. They have a very delicate part to it. Not that, again, these are heavy instruments, but there is something delicate here. V'chein nami sakin shel mila, like somebody mentioned, a mila knife. V'izmel shel saparin, a razor blade used for the barber's use. V'sakin shel sofrim, the sofer has a pocket knife, shem esakin v'behem kulmusim, that they, you know, cut off the edges of the feathers to use as a kulmus, as a writing quill. Those type of instruments, kevin shemak pidin milasos behem tash mishacher, aser lataltalim b'shabbos. That's the parameter, that's the gedda that the Rush defines, muktzah machmas chisaron kis, an item that you are makpid not to use for any other purpose, that's going to be muktzah machmas chisaron kis. So let's think about this for a second. Let's think about this conceptually. I have let's talk about a scalpel, a Miele knife. That's the easiest thing to talk about. I have a scalpel or a Miele knife. Now, what am I going to do with this? I'll cut somebody up. I'll chop somebody up with it, right? So I'm not going to chop somebody up on Shabbos. But hey, I could also, slice the bagels. Bagels are hard to slice. If you have a good scalpel, you know, doctor, you bring a scalpel, maybe the bagels get sliced a little more quickly here. Get them out on time. Don't have to wait till 9:05. So, says the Rush, since I wouldn't want to use my scalpel for a bagel, because I'm concerned that my scalpel have to, you know, is that expensive? Maybe not. We'll have to talk about how money plays a role here, or doesn't. But I wouldn't use it for something else. What happens in my brain when I say, this scalpel I don't want to use for anything else? That's called haktzah, pushing it away. Meaning, even if it would be available, anything that would be available, let's talk about a hammer. A hammer, it's a klishav l'aftal isra, I don't want to use it. You can't use it. You can't bang things. You can't build on Shabbos. You can't demolish on Shabbos. But if I needed something, like to scratch my back, would I use it? If I needed it a paperweight, would I use a hammer? Yeah. So in my mind, did I push it out of my brain? No, I didn't. I pushed it out of my brain a little bit. Therefore, it's going to be a little bit mukta. But since I didn't push it out of my brain a lot, because in my mind, I would avail the hammer to myself to scratch my back or to use as a paperweight. So I didn't push it out of my brain so much. Therefore, a klisham laftul isa will have a hetel tzarakufa makomo, as opposed to something that I would never use this scalpel to, as a paperweight or to cut the bagels. Therefore, in my mind, what am I doing? I'm pushing out of my mind even further, and therefore, muks machmas chisaron kis will be more chamer, and be also even letzarech mekomo and gufo. I just said something very longish. I said it simply, but it's a very fine point. What I'm saying is that the how aser muktzah is dependent. There's a spectrum of muktzah. There are things that are a little bit muktzah, and more muktzah. If you push something out of your brain a little bit, it's a little bit muktzah, but you're still allowed to use it letzarech gufo mekomo. If you push something out of your brain even more, like you wouldn't want to use it, even if push came to shove, I still wouldn't use my scalpel to cut the bagels. Even if I didn't have any knives, I'd use my hands. I wouldn't use my scalpel. So that means my brain pushed it out even further from ever using the scalpel, and therefore the halachas will reflect that and therefore be usher not only to use regularly, but even the tzarech makomo of a gufo, more so than a hammer. That's the lumdus of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. There's another phrase that we have to familiarize ourselves with, and that's a phrase in Shabbos Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara says the following: Hakol Moldim B'Sichi Zairei Umezori. Three tools. What are the three tools? So Rashi says it's machlokas whether they're painter's tools or they are weaver's tools, tools for a weaver. That both of those points are important. We'll see why. Says the Gemara, Kevin to kapit alayhu miyachiluhu makom. Since you're makpid on these items, you designate them a special place to keep them. Says Rashi, to kapit alayhu uman, the craftsman is makpid on them, shelo yislachluhu, velo yisakmu, he doesn't want them to get dirty, right? If you have a paint, if you're going to do a paint job and you have a paintbrush and some dirt gets on it, when you're going to put the paintbrush against the lady's wall, and she's going to see a speck of dirt there that just happened to be caught on your paintbrush, she's going to be angry at you. So you want to keep your paintbrushes clean. Anything that has a blade or some other tool that you need for your craft, you want to make sure it doesn't bend. So therefore, you meyached luhu makom. Look at this precious Rashi. Meyached luhu makom. What's the point? The fact that you designate a place? Makta lehen biyadayim. What does that mean? That's the point we just made. That you're pushing it, you're definitively, actively saying, no, this is not available for me. I keep this thing in a certain place. That means I'm putting it off limits to myself. Since in our brain we are pushing it off limits to ourselves, either mentally or by designating a set place for that, what does that mean? I'm pushing it away. Therefore, what is it going to have in halacha? A more higher level of muktzah than a regular case of muktzah. This could be more pushed away halakhically also, and will not be available letzarech gufo umekomo. Fine. That's the background. Now let's learn the Shulchan Aruch together. Simen Shinches, Sif Aleph, Dvarim Hamutar Ma'asun L'Talto B'Shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Kol HaKel Nitan B'Shabbos. We understood why it says that, because there was a time in history in the Nehemiah when you weren't allowed to use Kol HaKelim. Chutz, what is off limits, mimukza machmas chisaron kis. Kigon, what are the examples of mukza machmas chisaron kis? Sakin shel shchita, o shel mila, v'izmal shel a barber's razor blade. V'sakin shel sofim shem misakin behem hakumusim, he's quoting the Mishnah that we learned together, the sofer's knife that he cuts the quills with. Kevan shem akpidim shelo lasos behem tashmish acher, since you're makpid not to use any other tashmish, also the tatlo Shabbos, and here's the punchline: Afilu letzorech mekomo or letzorech gufo. So here, all these items that are delicate items, that are precious items. I'm using these words not precisely right now. You can't move them at all, even if you need the place where they're sitting. So if I have a hammer sitting on my dining room table and I want to put my soup there, I'm allowed to move my hammer. If I have a scalpel on my dining room table, or if I have whatever else might be mukta machas lisaron kis, I'm not going to be able to move it. I'll have to sit somewhere else and leave it there. Let's see the Next page, there's the Magen Avram Aleph. Also, that's in the next. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. On your in my Shulchan Aruch is the next page. The next box in the Rashi that is also the Taltalo says the Magen Avram. Perish also has sakin shall sell from also the Taltalo. No, I'm sorry. Let's read the Rama. Vafilu says Hagav. Vafilu tchuvim benadon im shar sakinim. These knives that we were just talking about are muktzah. What happens if I keep this knife in the quiver, not the quiver, but in a, you know, like a knife holder?
A case. Yeah.
In a case, im shar sakinim, also tule, scabbard. Wow, Mr. Sporn, that's a winner. Thank you. You keep it in your scabbard with the other knives. It's still going to be muktzah. Let's see what that means. Says the Magen Avraham, perish osa hasakin shall sell from osa l'taltalo. That knife specifically, that scalpel will be us. Scalpel will be us. The hava amina hol v'tachovim shar sakinim lo kapit alei. You might have thought that since you're putting in a scabbard with three other knives, three kitchen knives. So the fact that you put it with your three kitchen knives and your steak knives, then maybe that shows that you're not makpid on them. No. Kamash malan de aser. That's still aser. Just because you put it in a scabbard with other knives, this knife you're makpid on, it's still going to retain its muktzah. Aval hanadin im hasakinim. But what about carrying the scabbard with all four knives, three steak knives plus your scalpel? That's going to be a different issue. That's going to be mutil taltil de hanase basis le iser ula heter. There's a rule in Hilchas Basis that if you're a basis l'davar ha'aser, you can't move the base item. However, if it's a basis l'davar ha'mutter v'ha'aser, you can move the item in its entirety. So therefore, even though the scalpel's aser, but if your scabbard, your kit that's holding all your knives, has both mukta knives and non-mukta knives, you will be allowed to carry this kit because the basis is for both items. Now the next Magen Avram. Continues the Mechaber in the middle of this section. V'hu hadin l'kurnis shel basamim. Not bisamim, but basamim. Bisamim means spices. Basamim means people like Shalom Golombek. People who sell spices. People who are in the spice industry. So, a kurnis shel basamim shmakpidin ala shelo yislachlech. I think it was some kind of hard surface that you would crush the spices on, and if it would get dirty, the whole point of a spice is to have a very specific flavor. If it would get dirty, then it wouldn't crush properly. It would have some, it would be defiled as far as the purity of the flavor, and you therefore very makpid shelo yislachlich. Now the Magen Avraham is going to pick up on that word shemakpidin alav shelo yislachlich. Look what the Magen Avraham says shemakpidin alav aval b'makos she'en makpidin alav shari. That was a very important point. The definition of mukta machmas chisaron kis, of something that you're careful with and you wouldn't use for a different and alternate use, depends on you and nobody but you. The world, right? We live in an I society. iPhone, the millennials, they're all about themselves. That's exactly what mukta machmas chisaron kis is. It depends on you and nobody else. I don't care what derech ha'olam, I don't care what as we say in economics, the reasonable man would think. All I care is what you would do. If you're makpid on something, then it's muktzah. If you're not makpid on, if let's say I use, I'm a surgeon, I play with my scalpels all day, and I let my kids play with my scalpels. And I let my wife cut the bagels, and I cut my bagels with my scalpels. So for me, a scalpel is mutter gummer. If you don't use your scalpel for cutting bagels, your scalpel is usser. Depends on.
Say in the individual, he says, but makom.
Yeah, but that's what the Magen Avraham. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It happens not to be the case. So. Yeah, that's what the Datta just pointed out. It sounds like it's the general practice, but that happens not to be the halacha. The halacha, the way the post can bring down, it depends on the individual, not the makom.
It depends so much on.
One more line. I'm sorry. The next three words answer our question. Let's do the next line of the Ramah and the next Magen Avraham because that relates to this also. V'hu hadin concludes the Ramah in this sif. V'hu hadin kelim hamiyuchadim l'schora. This is a whole new genre of muktzah machmas chisaron kis, and that is, in one word, merchandise. Kelim hamyuchadim l'schora umakpid aleihem. If I sell scarves, I sell ties from my basement. I sell ties from my basement. It happens to be Shabbos, Friday night, I'm eating my soup, and I spill some soup on my tie. What am I going to wear to shul tomorrow? No problem, I'll go to my basement, then I'll take a tie. We all know that ties are not muktzah. Comes this Raman, tells us, but if it's schora that I'm makpid on, I don't want to, I'm very careful about not letting the kids down to the basement. They can't touch the ties. These ties are my business. These ties are my merchandise. So those ties are muktzah machmas chisor kis. Not only can I not go to my basement and take a tie, but even if one of those ties, I left it as I was showing customers, I left them on my couch and I want to sit down, I can't touch it. Could I move the couch? What? Exactly. Muktzah machmas chisor kis does not have the heter of the tzarech makomo. That's why muktzah machmas chisor kis is more chomer than all than a hammer. A hammer you could use, you can move l'tzarech makomo and l'tzarech gufo. Here we're learning about muktzah machmas chisor kis, which is more of a haktzah. I'm pushing it away more mentally, and therefore it will be more chomer, and I cannot move it l'tzarech makomo. Exactly the point. If there was a hammer on the couch, I could move the hammer. But if there's a tie that's part of my merchandise, and I was showing a customer Friday afternoon, he came to buy ties, and I left it on the couch, that tie is going to stay there the whole Shabbos. I can't touch it, I can't move it, and I certainly can't wear it. Doesn't work like that. You're saying.
I know it doesn't work, but I imagine why it doesn't work that way.
Because you're. So the way Chazal look at your question is, I never had kavana to move it out of my mind that I can't move it if it's in my way. Okay, that's what you're asking. The answer is that there's a takana called muktzah that says we're going to evaluate how you look at kelim. And if you look at a kli, that this is a kli that I won't use, we're going to put on it a din called muktzah, depending on how much you typically would push it out of your brain. If you're going to push it out of your brain a little bit like a kli shem laftal iser, we'll let you move it to tzarech makom gufo. But if you're going to put it out of your brain even more, we're going to put on you a din called muktzah that won't even allow you to move it letzarech makoma. So I couldn't care less if you're specifically, I wasn't muktzah it if I only knew that I would have to sit there. That's true, but I'm sorry, we put a din of muktzah on this kli, and therefore you won't be able to avail yourself to that.
Does it work the other direction?
What?
With the muktzah machosisim, let's say I'm muktzah on my hammer. I'm very particular with my hammer. Would it work? Would that convert it into muktzah machosisim?
Well, if you're very particular about your hammer to the extent that you wouldn't.
So
you wouldn't use it as a paperweight? Yes, that is correct. If you're very particular about your hammer, it's a two-way street. If you're very particular about your hammer, then. And you wouldn't even use it as a paperweight, and you wouldn't use it to scratch your back, and you wouldn't use it to open a coconut. You only use it for your building because you're into your basement. You have your whole setup there. You're very into your zachen. It's off limits. It's muktzah machmas chisor kis. Okay, I want to raise the questions that we have to deal with. Look in the bold print on the bottom of page 2. A bunch of questions. I don't know if we'll get to all the questions today, but you'll see that some of these are very nogea. So let's start like this. This summer, I and somebody else in the room were in Venice for Shabbos. And when you go to Venice for Shabbos, there's extraordinarily heavy security to enter the shuls, because the shuls, for example, the Ramchal shul, is 500 years old. And that's the whole community gets together in the shul. So in order to get into the shul, there's an Israeli security guard outside, and he interrogates every person, every guest. And they really do their stuff. And one of the things he asks for is, do you have a passport on you? So I had this shaila, mamish, 10 minutes before Shabbos, in Venice, is a passport muktzah machmas chisor kis? Let's think about it. Where do you keep your passport? In a very specific place. Would you use it for other uses? Definitely not. Okay, fine. Okay. So that's one question. But let's look at the things we have. What happens if you have a very, very expensive, fancy vase, or some crystal that you never use? Or maybe you'll use it when your son becomes a chassan, that's when you're going to use it. For the mechutanim, the first time you meet them. Other than that, you haven't touched this expensive crystal in 10 years. What happens if you have a fancy painting? An agam. You have an agam painting. First I wrote Rembrandt, then I realized nobody has Rembrandts here. But agam painting, some of you might have agams. And there you go. It's a $4,000 painting. It's on your wall. You would never use it. You never touch it. Very delicate. Okay. Rare Sfarim. Somebody in our shul has a certain sefer that I saw that must be worth. I can't imagine what it's worth.
Several people in your shul.
What?
Several people have.
Okay. So though you never use those Sfarim. They're very expensive. You learn from a sefer that's 500. What?
I have 400. I used to have a 400-year-old Rashi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you learn from it. Okay. What happens if I wouldn't? So does that make, maybe for you it's mutter, maybe for me it should be also. Okay, this is the question. We're just raising questions. What happens with the driver's license? Driver's license, usually people keep it in the same place. I always, I'm miyachid l'makom, like the Gemara said in Shabbos Kuchav Gimel, miyachid l'makom, I designate a special place to place it. I never put it somewhere else. Yeah, I always put my wallet somewhere. Oh, you're saying I move my wallet around to different places. Okay, fine. iPhone, your cell phone, that's the most common, Shiloh probably. Merchandise we spoke about. Honus Wagner. Everyone know who Honus Wagner is?
I guess about the Golem cards instead. Golem cards.
Okay, it's the most rare baseball card in the world. The three Honus Wagner's baseball cards, they're worth what, 1.2 million? I don't know. Reed, you have a baseball card. No one's going to say baseball cards are mukta, right? Baseball cards are, but it's a Honus Wagner baseball card. What happens, gentlemen? I have a 50-year-old whiskey. 50-year-old whiskey. $5,000 whiskey bottle. Okay? So, I'm not drinking it. I'm going to be yashin it to my... $50,000 bottle of whiskey. I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to yashin it to my son so he could marry off my grandchildren with it. Okay? An expensive telescope. I'm not talking about an electric telescope or a microscope. I'm talking about just a good quality, a very good quality, expensive maybe. It's old maybe. It's not old. A very expensive telescope or microscope. Are these things going to be muktzamachas, b'sarim, kids or not? That's what we have to learn now.
Can you maybe add something to the list, which is a watch? And I think that'll answer some of the questions you want.
We could add it to the list. Yeah, let's go.
An expensive watch.
Yeah, I have a really nice, expensive watch. 24 karat gold, 37 karat gold. It's fine. Let's talk about it. So, okay.
I think Philippe.
So, I want to talk about. Let's talk about one or two points here, and we'll see which of these questions we might be able to answer. I would like to talk first about an important fundamental. Turn to page 3 on the bottom. On the bottom of page 3, where it says in English what type of kelim are included, I'd like to learn with you the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, and the Aruch HaShulchan. But before we do, I want to point out what were the types of kelim that we saw in Shas, in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, of the things that are asur. So when the first point that we saw was a Mishnah that talked about a big knife for chopping, like a butcher knife. And we saw a plow. The Gemara talked about these three kelim, which I never heard of, Sichi, Zairi, and Mizori, which Rashi said were either a painter's tools or a weaver's tools. What's the common denominator with all of those items that were just mentioned?
Professional tools.
More than that. More than just professional tools. More specified. They're professional and more so. Exactly. They all happen also to be kelim shemalachtam le'iser. They're a tool that is used for butchering. You're not allowed to butcher on Shabbos. You could slice your meat, but you can't, you know, flay the animal. So they're all tools that are primarily for doing a ma'aseh iser. Besides that, they're also expensive or delicate. So is that going to be a necessary rule, a necessary prerequisite to constitute this high level of muktza machmas nisaron kis? That will answer a whole bunch of questions, right? The crystal, the very fancy crystal that I never use because it's so expensive, and so I got it from my great grandmother. She brought it on the Mayflower. I'm never going to use it. It's in my break front. Maybe when the chatanim come, the first time I'm going to take it out. Maybe, I don't even know. But it's a bowl. It's a vase. It's not a klisha malach to l'isser. It's very expensive. I would never let my... If my kids walk within 5 feet of there, I'll shoot them on sight without giving them an azhara. But it's not a klisha malachta le'isser. Let's see. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and we have to read his words carefully. I'm sorry, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Kol HaKelem, on the bottom of page 3, says the Baal HaTanya, Kol HaKelem, Shehem Omdim L'Schora, V'humakpid Aleihem, okay, that we saw, Shlol Hirshtamish Ben Shum Tashish, Afopi She'enim Kelem HaYakarma, even though they're not so expensive, like a tie, okay, if you don't want it to be used.
Inventory.
I'll continue, right, inventory, merchandise. Vein Tzarech Lomar Kelem HaYakarma B'Yoser, certainly things that are very expensive, Afopi She'enim L'Schora, even if they're not merchandise, now this is the punchline, Ella, Shemelach Tam L'Isser, U'makpid Aleihem Hirshtamish Ben Tashmish Acher. If it's Melach Tam L'Isser, and you are careful not to use it for a tashmish acher so that you don't ruin, depreciate the value, devalue it, shelo yifkasu demehem, this is called muksamachmas b'sarmkis. Very clearly the Baal HaTanya added which words, that it has to be a kli, shemalach tola iser. Let's see that same point in the Aruch HaShulchan, in the bottom line. Klal Shaldavar, when he explains, what is this iser of muksamachmas b'sarmkis, if it's sanish yachus aleihem, you're careful with them, you're nervous about them, lebli lishtamish behem, Rak bedivrei iser hamichadim lahem. You only use it for the prohibited purpose that it's designated for. I use my scalpel only for operations. I use my bris knife only for brisin. I use my weaving tools only for my weaving. Then, kamosach shachita, masa agado, etc. That's most of machmas sanchis. It's clear from these, again, it's just a word that they added in, that they slipped in, but you see where they got it from. These achronim looked at the sources in Shas, and every example in Shas for a muktzah macham sechzaron kis is something that happens to also be a klisha malach tula iser. And therefore, with this right here, we might be able to answer a bunch of questions. Sakan shel mila, I don't want to talk. Sakan shel mila is a klisha malach tula iser. It happens to be that that's an iser that's permitted on Shas. It's not that you're allowed to give brises on Shabbos. No, you're not allowed to give brises on Shabbos, but the halacha in Hilchas Bris Mila says do it on Shabbos anyway. Okay, go back to our questions. We could answer a whole bunch of these questions. A fancy vase or a crystal vase, it's very expensive, but it's not klisha malach tola iser. That's not going to be. I can move it on Shabbos. I can move it not just l'tzorach mekomo gufo, it's mutar l'chatchila for me to move all around. Things that are agam painting, I don't want to talk about that. Rare svarim. If it's a rare sefer, again, for me who never use these rare svarim, there might be another lumdus which we don't have time to talk about now.
It's not malach tola iser.
What? It's not a klisha malach tola iser.
It is if you're going to do business
with it. No, I'm not talking about a business. You're right. If you're going
to
sell them, this is coming. That's because your family sells Judaica. That's what you're thinking like this. You're the only one who made that comment because you have a Judaica store. So of course, you're talking about merch.
You think
Svarv, you think inventory. He thinks Svarv, he thinks collections and using them. So, Rabosai, an expensive, we'll finish with this, an expensive microscope or an expensive telescope, again, non-electric. Wow, it's a $6,000 microscope, telescope. Very delicate. You would never let the kids use it. But it's not a klisha malach tola iser. There's no iser looking at the stars, and there's no iser looking at a slide with some cheek swab cells. Neither of them are iser. And therefore, it's not a klisha malach tola iser. Those items should be mutar l'chatchila to move around, and they are. It's not muktzah machmas kesaron kis.
So what about the tie?
The tie is a different genre, and that's called merchandise, inventory. Merchandise inventory is something that, in your mind, is even more mukta, even though there's nothing wrong with a tie, but you don't touch. We don't go there. What? It's a subgenre of mukta machmas kesaron kis, and therefore inventory is always going to be aser, even if it's clothing, it's malach tola heter, even if it's, the only exception is going to be if it's food.
What if you change it?
That's a long arichas. The Achronim asked you a question. If you change the status of something on Shabbos, do we say migud is kitzai ben hashmash is kitzai l'chuliyoma? If on Shabbos came in, it was inventory, and now on Shabbos, I'm Mr. Tie, right? I'm Mr. Ties. I always go to shul with the coolest ties, and that's how I get people to buy them from me. And my tie has a big stain on it. Chalon felon. I can't go to mincha with a chalon stain. I want to decommission one of the inventory ties and turn it into a mincha Shabbos afternoon tie. So that the Echronim speak about, I don't remember, we'll have to check. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next week what we're going to talk about is this very specific aspect of Muktzah Machlokes Tzaron Kis. What about the items that you are designate a place so specifically that it will never move, like a painting on the wall, like
a mirror,
but it's not necessarily so expensive, and other things that are very that you never move because of their value, and therefore you're miyachid lehu makom entirely.
This concludes part 2. Please continue the lecture with part 3.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.